let's face it, AI is everywhere. There are so many headlines and so much hype. That's why we're here. We're to help you separate the AI news from the noise. Welcome to our first episode of the Mostly AI Smart Pod, brought to you by the editors of AI Impact Smart Brief. I'm Susan Rush.
I'm Michael Domingo.
And I'm Vic Martinez.
And we're the Not Rocks. As you can see, we're human. It's pretty bad. We'll be working on that on a coming episode. Maybe at the end, we'll see. But anyway, today we're going to be talking about what's making headlines in AI and taking a deep dive into AI agents and the SaaS market. Now, before we dive in, I want to answer a question. Why are you even wanting to listen to us? Well, collectively, we've been covering the industry for a long time. We know our stuff. We're curious by nature. And I think that's good qualities for podcast hosts. But seriously, I'm Susan Rush, and I'm the director of content for tech, media, and retail here at Smart Brief. I've been covering the tech industry for decades, but it still excites me. AI is a real tentpole moment, and I'm really excited to be here.
I'm Michael Domingo, Smart Briefs editor of the number of the tech briefs. Excuse me. And I tell you how long I've been in the industry, but then you might not believe me. I've been coming across so many of the AI stories while I'm covering these briefs. And I thought these stories weren't a lot of exposure because we're internally, we get numbers on these stories and they're just like explosive. And we thought, you know, our readers are vociferous for this kind of information. So let's start up a AI impact smart brief and deliver it in a nice tidy package. So that's what this podcast is, a version of that. At least that's how I see it.
And I'm Vic Martinez. I'm content editor here at Smart Brief, and I'm an undercover techie, so don't let my dad know. But in addition to the latest news in AI, I cover a lot of the marketing briefs, which has now been a lot of AI in marketing as well. So I'll be here joining Susan and Domingo, making sure that we're bringing you all the latest AI tools, dishing on what's new in AI, and trying not to get lost in the matrix.
Right on. All right, now that we got that squared away, let's jump into our first segment. First up, in the last few weeks, Anthropic and OpenAI have been firing volleys of a sort with new tools aimed at segments like manufacturing, legal, and other segments often served by SaaS tools. When Anthropic released its Claude Cowork model a few months ago, it kind of put a damper on the stock market, which Susan covered in an issue of AI Impact in March. Then there's my write-up on the firsthand AI experienced by a number of commencement speakers in the last month, which you can find in the May 19th issue of AI Impact. Eric Schmidt, the former Alphabet CEO, had his speech interrupted a number of times at the University of Arizona. It's unlike the reception that NVIDIA's CEO Jensen Huang got at a Carnegie Mellon University speech he did earlier this month. I also kind of like the odd and quirky stories. So the one on The Guardian about AI being able to replicate itself sounds like it's right out of the movies. It's a start anyway, but not as ominous when you get into the details. What do you got, Susan?
Yeah, those are great. You know, I'm thinking big, you know, big companies, you know, as they continue to make waves and make strides. You know, NVIDIA is rolling. You know, it's expected to double its data center revenue this year. And who's generating over half of that? The hyperscalers. Yeah, so I just want to point out, because I really think we should keep our eye on those chip companies and what they're doing. They're really driving the industry. Anthropic, you know, they're just dusting off those naysayers. I mean, it's expected to report its first profitable quarter. You know, the Wall Street Journal said that its quarterly revenue is growing faster than, get this, Zoom did during the pandemic, and Google and Facebook in the run-up to their initial public offerings. I mean, what? I mean, its June quarter is supposed to come in at about $559 million in operating profit. I mean, that's just something to, again, keep an eye on. And kind of a fun one, you know, OpenAI claimed that had solved this 80-year-old math problem. I mean, to be fair, it's the second time they've claimed that they've solved this same geometry problem, but they say this time it's for real. And, you know, I'm not a math head, so I don't really understand the problem, but I will say that it proves that AI can do more than just generate text. You know, it can think logically. This could open up a whole new world. So those are my three. Vicky, what's catching your eye?
It's funny that you mentioned that because, like, I want to talk about Salesforce and how it's essentially moving the way AI is changing from not just being a tool, but it's basically your new digital teammate. One of the things that they're doing is that they're, you know, all of the tech that's dropping right now, it's moving from just being something that you're going to put a search query and answer a question. Now it's like, okay, can you do 5 different roles? And can you help me do this? Do my research for me, type this up, analyze this for me. And it really is that partner. It's not just a tool. And we're seeing that with Salesforce that's now aggressively rolling out their new agent force. And these agents are working across sales, supports, and marketing. And basically, it's skyrocketing their revenue. So we're seeing this that in 2026, it's more about how can we make more of a workflow, not just a tool, but really using that to adapt to everything that you need. Obviously, for AI, you know, people are afraid of AI, but you shouldn't be, because it's not meant to just replace you. It's meant to give you like that little boost that you need, because let's be real, we need 100 hours in a day. And if we want to research something, you're going to spend 3 times researching something by hand when you can have an assistant or a teammate who can help you with that, and it'll help your work be better. So I think that's one of the things that caught my attention this week, is how we're really just, everybody's dropping new and improved models. So it's the way that we're changing the way AI is being viewed.
That's pretty interesting. I was just thinking, as you were talking about Salesforce, my sister's a Salesforce certified developer with a big tech company. Oh, actually, media company here in LA. And I'm curious to find out what she thinks about all this AI technology that's being embedded into Salesforce. I know I haven't checked in with her in about a month, but I'd be curious to give her a call. So that's just a few of the things that caught our eye. Let us know what you think of that segment. Now let's dive in a bit on one of the topics in a segment we're calling All Talk with the NotBots. Let's start with the impending SaaS apocalypse. It was a subject Susan wrote about in a March issue of AI Impact.
Yeah. So, I mean, have you heard of this SaaS apocalypse, as they're calling it? You know, basically it's that panic around the fact that AI agents are going to render software companies obsolete. As, you know, Domingo said, I took a look at this at an earlier issue of AI Impact Smart Brief. But there's been some recent developments, so we thought we would just kind of have a roundtable chat about it. So let me give you some background. You know, a couple months ago, there was some worry that the rapid development of AI tools, you know, Anthropic's Cowork plugins and OpenAI's Enterprise Agent Frontier, that they were going to just wipe out software, right? Like, at least, you know, what they're providing. You know, and then some mixed earnings reports and some sell-off of some software stocks paved the way for that SaaS apocalypse scaries. You know, but at the time, Salesforce CEO, he was steadfast, right? He was like trying to calm everyone down and said, you know, AI is reshaping the industry by integrating into existing platforms and shifting pricing models from per user fees to outcome-based changes or charges. Well, it looks like he was right. You know, the SaaS apocalypse rhetoric has kind of toned down. I would say it's, you know, essentially over because these software companies, you know, they're evolving their software delivery model into an AI native ecosystem, you know, but it's not really just about what I think. You know, Domingo, I'm curious, you know, what's your take on all this?
Well, I think the Salesforce people are right, and it's kind of like the death of per seat pricing and subscriptions. Besides Salesforce, companies like Zendesk are already seeing the future, and they've been rolling out hybrid and outcome-based pricing models. They're using AI agents rather than the traditional flat fee. For now, though, and I think that's the second thing, there's also the idea that these companies will disappear altogether. Software being obsoleted actually is a normal thing. You know, it's like, hey, they still, you know, they have to evolve or they're going to disappear. It's like, you know, the history of software in the last, like, you know, 50 years, really. But they still have nothing to worry about, like, basically in the near future, I don't think. a lot of these companies, they haven't actually figured out how to run full departments on one, you know, like with one person running AI software, at least not yet. So those are kind of where that's kind of where I'm seeing things.
Honestly, one of the things that like really stands out is why pay for a license when you can pay for results? Like in the before, it used to be you hire 10 people, you're going to be buying software licenses. Actually, we're seeing it in Canva. We use Canva as a team, and it only allows you a certain amount of members on your team, and then you have to buy an additional license for it. But the reality is, before, companies were using that as their metric was how many seats. But with this SaaSpocalypse, like we're trying to see, like they're facing pressures. The investors want more results versus, and they want to have AI agents enter the marketplace. So looking at Zendesk, their annual conference, they doubled their autonomous service workforce and shifted more towards an outcome-based pricing, and they're seeing a lot more revenue. So I think it's more about changing the old models to, you know, we're innovating, we're growing. Like as in general, everybody's expanding and getting new things. Like you're not going to stay with the same TV set from the 1950s. So why same software in a different view? So that's what we're looking at now. And I think that's, like you said, it might be that these kinds of softwares might come to an end. So,
I mean, really, whether you're talking about software, you're talking about media, you're talking about anything, you know, AI is changing how we're thinking, how we're producing. So, you know, these companies have to evolve if they want to survive. So survival of the software fittest, I guess. I don't know.
All right. Thanks, Susan and Vicky. Let us know what you think. We're always looking for feedback on how we're doing, and we'd love to know what you think about the impending SaaS apocalypse, whether it's a real thing or not. Vicky closes us out with the next segment, the 2-Minute Tech Impulse.
All right, here are three trending AI tools that are dominating the news cycle, and this is what you need to know about. Gemini 3.5 Flash. It is basically four times faster than its rivals, without sacrificing intelligence, so that's a big plus right there. The results are showing that it's surpassing GPT 5.5 and Claude Opus in multi-step tool handling and complex coding benchmarks. Again, major for developers. Then moving over to Gemini Spark, it's basically your virtual personal assistant, but with a kick. It will go ahead, handle your emails. It'll analyze your financials. It'll even make your restaurant reservations. So the good thing, it's already integrated with OpenTable. So no need to even think about it. Speak it into the chat and say, hey, make a reservation at the hottest restaurant in town. It'll go ahead and do that for you. And it'll condense all of this busy work for you to make your life a lot more simpler. So it is a tool that's been used widely. On the creative side, Google released their Gemini Omni, which basically fuses video, audio, and text, and it's able to create an entire cinematic video. And when you go ahead and create this video, you're able to edit it by speaking to the app as if you were speaking to an editor, change things like, hey, make it a rainy day, make the car turn right or left, you know, whatever changes you want or edits that you want made, it'll go ahead and dynamically change the video itself. So this is going to be interesting to see over the next couple months and how it's rolled out, especially in the TV and film industry, and how that will make an impact. And that is your 2-Minute Tech Pulse. So the takeaway for this has been AI isn't just answering questions. It's basically a multifaceted teammate, workspace, workforce, all in one that we should be able to work with, not be afraid of. That's a wrap for today. We'll be dropping a new episode every week talking about the latest news in AI, what's trending, interviews with industry leaders, and we're going to be giving you a deeper insight of what's in AI and the impact it's having in your world. Find us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Thanks for listening. I'm Victoria.
I'm Domingo.
And I'm Susan.
The Mostly AI podcast is a production of Smart Brief, a future company.